Chapter 5. Pi didn't move, but in the back of his mind he cursed bitterly. Nearly getting run over by the longhorn had shaken him and distracted him enough so that he hadn't noticed the approach of someone else, someone who, from the sound of that threat, was now holding a gun on him. He wished Rachel had kept quiet. The stranger, whoever he was, must have heard her and now knew there was a woman close by. The stranger wasn't alone either. Footsteps rustled around, and another man's voice said,
"Go ahead and shoot him, Dave. Ain't no need to keep him alive."
"I'll decide that," the first voice said. "I want him to answer some questions first. Hell, we might even let him live."
Pi didn't believe that for a second. These men weren't Indians, and he supposed he should be thankful for that. But they might be something even worse. Like everywhere else in the Confederacy, Texas had its share of deserters and renegades roaming around. Pi had clashed with such men before, back when he and Corey had been together, and he knew how ruthless they could be. If they were deserters, they wouldn't hesitate to kill him and steal his animals and supplies, and if Rachel fell into their hands, he didn't want to think about that. The only small consolation was that if the men tried to attack Rachel, they would be in for a surprise. She carried a pistol these days, and she knew how to use it. Pi had bought enough ammunition so that she could practice on a regular basis, and she had gotten fairly proficient with the 36 Navy Colt. If the men tried to grab her, she would make the sons of bitches pay a high price.
"You still ain't put down that rifle, big boy," the man called Dave said. "I don't plan to tell you again."
"Take it easy," Pi said. "I'm putting it down."
He leaned over and placed the Henry on the ground at his feet.
"Now step away from it," Dave ordered.
Pi did as he was told, and then his spirit sank a little, as a third man said,
"Do we go roust out the girl now?"
Pi had thought there were only two of the men. Now the odds had gotten even worse.
"Yeah, go ahead, Jenkins," Dave said, offhandedly. "But don't you hurt her."
"I'll go with him,"
the third man said with such eagerness in his voice that it made Pi sick.
"You stay here, Avery," Dave said. "Jenkins doesn't need your help to go round up one woman."
"Maybe there's more than one. Maybe there's a gal for each of us."
Dave chuckled at the suggestion.
"I wouldn't count on it, but one'll do for now."
It was dark, Pi thought, and the renegades probably could not see him any better than he could see them. If he turned and reached for the Colt on his hip, maybe he could get it out of the holster and get off a shot or two. As if reading his mind, Dave said,
"Don't try anything, big boy. You got a shotgun pointed at you right now, and at this range it'll blow you in two, no matter how big you are. Reach across your body with your left hand and take out that pistol nice and slow, and put it on the ground."
Pi hesitated. Shotgun or no shotgun, there was only so much he was going to take before he fought back. On the other hand, he couldn't throw away his life needlessly. He had to stay alive for Rachel's sake. His nerves were stretched taut, and when a sudden shot blasted through the darkness, he couldn't help but jump. Somebody let out a yelp. Pi's right hand started toward the Colt. He was liable to get shot anyway, so he might as well go down fighting. A flurry of shots rattled out. The sharp cracks sounded like rifle fire to Pi. He threw himself forward in a rolling dive, hoping to get out of the way of as much of the shotgun blast as possible. Sure enough, both barrels of the weapon boomed, lighting up the night with the flame that blossomed from the twin muzzles. Pi felt the fiery rake of lead clawing at him as he landed hard on the ground and rolled over. The Colt came up in his hand and bucked against his palm as he triggered it, aiming toward the sound of the shotgun. More shots, and a sudden rush of hoofbeats filled the night. Pi had no idea what was going on. He surged to his feet.
"Rachel! Rachel!"
"Pi!"
He ran toward the sound of her voice. But before he could reach her, a large shape loomed out of the darkness beside him. For a second, Pi thought the longhorn had returned. Then he realized the shape was a horse. An instant before the animal's shoulder caught him, a hard but glancing blow, and spun him off his feet. The horse's rider reined in.
Don't move, dadgummit,
he ordered as he leaned down from the saddle and pointed a rifle at the supine pie. Looking up from the ground, Pie saw a man in silhouette against the starlight that filled the sky. The rider wore a wide-brimmed hat and sat the saddle like he was part of the horse. He went on,
Just hunker there till we get this all sorted out.
At least the shooting had stopped. Pie was desperate to know if Rachel was all right. He started to get up in spite of the rifle pointed at him. Nobody was going to hold him on the ground while his wife was in danger, or maybe even hurt already. A new voice pierced the air, strong and calm and carrying easily through the darkness.
Take it easy now, boys, the new voice coached. I think we got all three of them. Looks like they were trying to rob these folks.
The man who was covering Pie with the rifle said,
Well, I got one of them over here, Captain Jim. Either that or it's a bear wandering in from West Texas.
Let's get some light,
the one called Captain Jim said. A moment later, Pie smelled the sulfur stink of a lucifer being struck. Yellow light flared up as someone lit a lantern. Pie looked around and saw that there were at least half a dozen men on horseback, plus several more who had dismounted and were moving around on the ground. One of the men on foot carried the lantern. He came toward Pie. The light revealed him to be tall, barrel-chested, and powerful-looking, with a face that might have been open and friendly at other times, but was now set in hard, alert lines. He had a heavy Colt Dragoon revolver in his other hand and wore a broad-brimmed black hat, a leather vest over a faded homespun shirt, denim trousers, and high-topped black boots completed his outfit. The other men were dressed in similar fashion. They were typical Texans, hard-eyed men, some clean-shaven, some sporting bristly whiskers. The one who was covering Pie had a pronounced twang in his voice as he said,
See, Captain? I told you he was big as a bear.
Who are you, mister? The captain asked.
He didn't look like any soldier Pie had ever seen, but clearly he had the command of this group of men.
Name's Pie Jones, Pie said. Can I get up now?
The captain nodded.
Just don't move too sudden-like. Kurt there sometimes gets a mite jumpy.
The raw-boned, lantern-jawed man called Kurt grinned as he continued to point his rifle at Pie. Pie climbed to his feet.
Three men jumped us, he said. I reckon they were gonna rob us and kill me. As for my missus, Don't worry about her, the captain cut in. She's fine.
He turned and called,
Bring in the woman, Lacewell.
A moment later, Rachel entered the circle of light cast by the lantern, followed closely by one of the men. She cried out and rushed over to Pie, throwing her arms around his neck. She wasn't crying, but he could feel her trembling. He understood how she felt. He was a little shaky himself right now. Having Rachel in his arms again, safe and sound, helped a lot, though. She caught her breath.
You're hurt.
He could feel the wet spots on his back where some buckshot had grazed him.
It don't amount to nothing, he said. Don't worry about it.
You sure?
He nodded and pulled her closer to him again. The man with the lantern said,
I'm Captain Jim Griffin. We're Texas Rangers. Been on the trail of three renegades for the past couple of days, ever since they raided a settler's cabin down in Thorpe Springs and murdered him. I'd say the two we killed and that other one must be the men we were after.
Continuing to hold Rachel, Pye looked over her shoulder at Griffin.
The two you killed, you say?
Griffin smiled faintly and nodded.
From the looks of things, you got the other one. That was a neat bit of greenhorn shooting, Mr. Jones.
Pye heaved a deep breath.
Good luck, more than anything. The good Lord must have been a-liking me right about then. Never hurts to have the forces of righteousness on your side, along with plenty of powder and shot,
Griffin said.
You're, rangers, you say? Lawmen?
Griffin shrugged broad shoulders.
Lawmen? Soldiers? Whatever we need to be in order to keep Texas safe from Injuns and from blackguards like these. With most of the men folks gone off to war, the frontier's a more dangerous place than ever. And it never was what you'd call peaceful in the first place.